BMG have released a new box set detailing Status Quo's early years between 1966 and 1969. Now, I know what you're thinking. This material falls under the Quo material labelled as the Pi Era, along with the first two rock albums, Mark Kelly's Greasy Spoon and Dog of Two Head. Now, this material has been released so many times over the years. And I can understand that when a new box set or a new compilation or anything Pi Era is released, it's kind of like, well, this again, like, you know, why? But I don't know about you, but my frustration was always that when I saw these compilations, nine times out of 10, they normally had an image of the band from the early to mid 70s, which gave you the impression of like, you know, rock album, that this is going to be like heavy, maybe similar to the Vertigo stuff. And that's why they reissued some of this content later on, was to kind of capitalize on the success with Vertigo. And then you'd listen to the album, and yeah, there would be tracks from those latter two that I mentioned, but majority of it would be those 60s psychedelic pop albums, which I personally like. I love the 60s era, and listening through this box set for this review was very exciting for me, because I'm always hearing stuff that I haven't listened to too much of it previously, and so there's something exciting about it, almost like hearing new Quo material. But I do realize, for those who've been fans for a very long time and have heard this stuff, like, it can seem like we're just getting leftovers. But I think what this box set does correctly is that, for a start, the packaging tells you exactly what it is. There's no kind of smoke and mirrors here. It is exactly what it says on the tin. So the front cover is very interesting. Even my son, you know, has kind of pointed out the little pictures. The fact that it's a bunch of matchboxes on the front cover, with obviously a matchbox in the middle with Status Quo, the early years, 66 to 69. And then we have other designs around here that are based on ideas that are in this box set. So there's a picture of an ice cream van, for example, which is a reference to Francis Rossi and what he would have been doing otherwise, and what his dad did as well. Gentleman Joe's Sidewalk Cafe, obviously with the coffee cup. And then, you know, The Clown, which is a song on there. The Spectres, a reference to one of the first names for the band, the earliest incarnation. And then Ice in the Sun has got an ice cream, and Spare Parts, we've got sort of just a couple of bits of wood or a box or whatever that is. It's very well done. And I have looked in the booklet, which I should talk about, and I would say that this was done by an in-house graphic designer at BMG, not necessarily a massive fan. Because I think if you were a massive fan, you wouldn't pick out like The Clown and stuff. And like, you can see that they've gone in and they've looked for imagery throughout this box set that they can use here. And the fact it's matchboxes, like I say, it's obvious that what you're getting in here is that 60s psychedelic pop era of Status Quo, with plenty of phasing and occasionally strange kind of lyrical content in there. So this box set has five discs in it. First thing I shall talk about is the booklet, which has liner notes by Dave Ling. There's also some extra notes about the sessions in there by Andy Gamble, who I also believe did some of the remastering on this set, because that's the thing, it's like newly remastered as well. Really interesting read. Read for it that there's some interesting quotes in there from John Schroeder about how he kind of fought for the band in the early days. And, you know, really interesting if you're not that familiar with that side of things. So disc one is the two original mono albums, which is Picturesque Matchstickable Messages from the Status Quo and Spare Parts, released in 68 and 69 respectively. Obviously, the first album, you've got the two kind of pictures of Matchstick Men and Black Veils of Melancholy, those two singles. You've got Ice in the Sun, Technicolor Dreams, that was nearly a single, although I believe there are some copies of it out there, you know, out there in the world. Might have even been released in Europe, but it should have been a big single, that one. What I find with these two albums, I mean, the first one obviously is very psychedelic. The second one almost goes more into that pop territory because we've got the string section in there. You know, they released Are You Growing Tired of My Love as a single, but then you've also got things like Nothing At All with that string section in there, Antique Angelique, which is really catchy. I mean, I had it playing in my studio here, and really loudly, and it all sounds really good. What I did notice was that the two albums do have kind of a different sound to them. I feel like the first album was kind of brighter and the second album had almost like a tape sound, you know, warm tape sound to it, but that might have just been the equipment that I was playing it through. But all sounds as good as it ever did, really. And this is the thing, I see some confusion over the idea of a remaster and a remix. I've seen some kind of displeasure that it sounds the same or whatever. And the thing is, a remaster is kind of going back and, I believe, just changing the levels and, you know, things like that. Whereas with remixing, you'd be going right back to, like, the work tape and changing where things are in the mix, you know, and turning things down. I'm not quite sure what kind of machinery they were recording on, whether it was 4-track, 8-track, but, you know, maybe one day, I have said this before, one day these early albums do need some kind of remix, but I don't think the material has sounded as good as it does here. It's just excellent. You know, some things you go, well, that's a bit too loud or a bit too quiet. But the thing is, that's what they were working with at the time. That's the sound that they were going for. This front cover has got the two albums on it, the two album covers on it. And then disc two is stereo versions of disc one. Now, I have put this in my written review, that what I tend to find with stereo albums, certainly from this era, is that they work much better in speakers than they do through headphones. Because through headphones, you can kind of notice, you know, the vocals are sort of on one side. Whereas with the speaker, it kind of gives a much more spatial awareness thing. It's sort of more out in the open. But that's just my own personal opinion. Personally, I would go more towards the mono albums because it's kind of how they were intended to sound. So disc three is where things get quite interesting. A lot of the tracks on disc three have been put at the end of first album reissues down the years. But this is all stuff recorded before they were Status Quo. So essentially before Rick Parfitt joined the band. Some of this would have been what he was hearing in Butlins, I would imagine, in 1965. And so we have here The Spectres and Traffic Jam. So there's 18 tracks of The Spectres, and then it goes into Traffic Jam, in which we get five tracks there. So I Who Have Nothing is the earliest recording for the Spectres. Then we have Neighbor Neighbor, which is kind of preempting. Some of these things are preempting that later, you know, journey into that sort of heavier rock music. Interesting things here. There's a few tracks here that were later discovered in the late 90s. Maybe some fans are hearing this for the first time. So things like Walking With My Angel, which to me sounds like it's got a slightly different mix to it than the one that I've heard, but it might just be that the quality of the transfer that I've heard previously wasn't great. So two tracks on here to note, Love In Vain and Say That You Need Me, I believe are taken from an obscure compilation from a long time ago. And I don't think they've ever been released in an official Quo album before. I might be wrong. They sound like they come from an acetate. They sound a little bit crispy in sound, but it's really nice to hear. So tailing off the end of the Spectres and the Traffic Jam sessions are BBC performances on BBC Radio, and you get to hear them do live versions of some of the songs they were doing at the time, plus other bits and pieces that haven't really seen the light of day in any other form. Things like Bird Dog, which is an Everly Brothers cover, and Bloodhound, which is a Larry Bright cover. And you get one version of Bloodhound on here and then one version later. But to hear them do that kind of boogie stuff this early is really exciting, because you can almost hear them coming alive when that happens, you know. And then for the Traffic Jam, we've got Almost But Not Quite There, Wait Just a Minute. Those are sort of the only two studio tracks from that period. It's worth noting that this is all slightly towards before the psychedelia period. You know, this is a lot more almost like straight garage rock or garage pop, you know, that kind of thing. Some wonderful harmonies in here. I mean, I love the harmonies in like I Want It, for example, or Almost But Not Quite There. There's some amazing harmonies in there. It's really, for me, it's worth it just for this. And I love the fact it's been separated. I was slightly annoyed that the first two discs, I would have preferred to have had the album separately and maybe had the mono and stereo mixes kind of on the end of their respective album discs. But in that case, you know, they've gone for a whole listening experience. And it's the same with this. They've put this in a nice little box so that if you want to hear early stuff, this is the disc you go for. And that's exactly where you can go. You know, it's great. For me, it's like the most exciting thing. I've heard a lot of those recordings before, but to finally get them in physical format was very exciting. So the fourth disc is A-sides, B-sides, demos, and outtakes, which is exactly what it says. It's kind of offcuts from the different sessions and, you know, other things that weren't used at the time, or stuff that was released as a single and then not used on albums. So things like Make Me Stay a Bit Longer, I think, is one of the singles, along with The Price of Love, which has a beautifully, I didn't realize this, it got a beautiful, like, really heavy bluesy bit in the middle of The Price of Love. Again, more foreshadowing for what's to come. And the other thing here, it's not listed as such, but Little Miss Nothing is obviously the B-side to, I think it's The Price of Love is the B-side to that. And Little Miss Nothing has got this beautiful string arrangement, which is not present on the album version. And to me, it just lifts it. I love the fact that they've included these alternative mixes. If you've bought random compilations over the years, you will be familiar with songs like Josie and Do You Live in Fire. They sort of band around a bit as though like they were massive hits, you know, or massive tracks on albums, when really they were just kind of, you know, little offcuts that have since gained prominence. Auntie Nellie, I need to say this, because I didn't realize, it's so clear on here that when you're listening to Auntie Nellie, the drums are sort of buried in the mix, but the stuff that John Coughlan is doing at that point is, it's just exceptional. There's something almost like military and then almost like early 90s, like Happy Mondays type stuff going on there, like what he's doing with the rhythm. I think there's a bit of cowbell in there, sort of cymbals. It's a really funky beat that's kind of buried beneath everything. And I think that's why one day they need to find a way of doing a remix of this stuff. So the final disc in here, disc number 5. And for our listeners, I have got the discs in front of me. So BBC Sessions, 1968 to 69. Again, separating out. They could have put all of the sessions from all lineups on one disc, but they didn't. They went for putting it on a separate disc so that we can see here that we have a version of the band on the front featuring Mr. Rick Parfitt, formerly Ricky Harrison, along with Roy Lyons, obviously, who is on most of, if not all of, the recordings on here. And I'll say something about Roy Lyons in just a moment. But this is basically the stuff that used to go at the end of, like, Picturesque, you know. But it's on its own disc here, so if you fancy listening to some BBC Sessions from 68 and 69 and hearing a blistering version of Bloodhound, which to me came to life a little bit more when you see that Belgian TV clip that goes around occasionally of them doing that guitar dance. That's very exciting. There's also interviews in these as well. I mean, these sessions sound much better than the earlier ones. The earlier ones kind of sound like, you know, they were found on somebody's reel and then handed into the BBC. One thing I would say is I am impressed with the fact they even included those, because I would imagine they would have had to have licensed those from the BBC. And for something like this, you didn't need to, really, did you? You could have just put the recorded material on there. You know, you didn't need to go the extra hog. But to me, they did. And so really, if you're a new fan, you might be thinking, well, why should I bother with this? You know, they went on, and most of their career they did like this boogie rock, hard rock stuff that made them famous. And it's like, yes, but in the prism of Quo's career, only really Pictures of Matchstick Men and Ice in the Sun from this period really get any mention. I mean, it's the only tracks from those eras that the modern Quo have ever performed. And so it is important, I think. It gives you a wider image that their success wasn't overnight. And also that the boogie stuff, it's another story, but the boogie stuff, they didn't just start going da-da-da-da-da and then have number one hits. That's a whole other journey. But this is way before that. And they were having hits and they were having misses and they were doing experimentation. And they had Roy Lyons with them for the ride, which makes it even more interesting when you realize later the amount of people that complain about Andy Bowen on records playing keyboards and synths and everything else. And then in these early days, I believe it was Alan Lancaster that said that they'd sort of cover up the not so good bits, you know, with Roy Lyons and his organ. Some of his organ playing is exceptional. Absolutely exceptional. And it works for this era. It kind of brings that extra, you know, extra kind of weirdness, psychedelicness to it. And for those early pre-psychedelic ones, it just fits with the era. He sings one song on this album, which is Wait a Minute. And I think that is, in a world where everybody says all Quo songs will sound the same, that one track is the one where you can go, doesn't all sound the same? Because it's a completely different voice. Anyway, why should you pick up this box set? Well, it sounds great. Most of it newly remastered. Nicely put together. Great booklet. Excellent artwork that tells you exactly what it is. Everything's written down nicely. Not so sure about the mono and stereo albums being split and, you know, having the two albums on one and that type of thing. But I've already explained that actually that's probably for the best. And you get all, basically, most of the existing material. Is there anything new on here? Aside from maybe those two tracks, although if you've been in the Quo community for a long time, they're not new to you at all. There's not really anything new in here that you haven't already heard before. But when I want to buy one of the 60s albums, sometimes those editions are like £10 to £15. This is like nearly 30. This is around 27, 28 quid on Amazon. That's a bargain for the two albums, for all of the pre-Status Quo stuff, for all of the live stuff that exists from this period. That is an absolute bargain to me. And I am one of those fans who had all of the studio albums except those two. And so now I've completed my collection. And that might be what you end up doing with this. This might be your way of completing your collection. And I think the question I was asking before about, is it worth your time checking out this stuff if what you like about them is that they have free chords and they, you know, they do all the boogie stuff? Definitely, definitely, because there is a definite journey that's being catalogued here, and you can hear them trying things, and it's marvellous. There are some really catchy, lovely songs in here, early forays into songwriting, not all of which is fantastic, but really works, you know, really works. And so that is Status Quo, the early years, rock on, or should I say groovy, man. It's available now. I'll leave all the details in the description below as to how you can get your hands on one. Let me know what you think of the early years of Status Quo. Are you a fan of the 60s material? Let me know, and I'll see you again for another episode of the Quocast.